You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
KSL at night.
Welcome back to KSL at night. I'm Mara Carabello here with Rusty Cannon. And Rusty, a big issue in Utah has been the one size or the scholarship or the voucher. I'm going to use both terms. I'm going to start on both sides of the fence here. and we passed, or our state legislature passed a law. And, you know, I think you and I want to maybe start with the politic of it and then move into an article that is in the news today, which is about how successful this voucher application program went. But let's start with it. This is, gosh, this has been a public debate for probably over a decade.
Oh, yeah.
It's been attempted as a ballot measure. It's been attempted several times as the state legislature. And at a 100,000 foot level, it's about where taxpayer dollars should go in terms of the kinds of schools that we pay for. So I think most of us, starting point is our taxpayer dollars go into public schools.
Yeah.
This question is about, do you put aside a scholarship fund that would allow parents to use taxpayer dollars to fund their students' education? And they can define whether that was a private school or a charter school or a public school.
Yeah,
well,
give them choice.
Public school's cheap or free. So really it's saying, do you get to spend taxpayer dollars on private schools because you evaluated it and you felt like it fit your kids' needs the best?
Yeah, it was a pretty exciting debate a couple of sessions ago when the Utah Fits All Scholarship, as it's called, was passed. And the question becomes, okay, at least from our perspective, the Taxpayers Association, we're always looking at a return on investment, if you can call it that, with taxpayer dollars. And on one side of the issue, you would say, okay, are we getting the results we want? And if not, do we have a choice to go elsewhere, right? And so the original intent of the bill was to take a small amount of money relative to the education budget, which is huge, and start this program. In the first iteration, they put aside roughly $40 million. And then this past session, they added another $40 million for a total of about $80 million available in the scholarship. And then that was really the initial rollout of this. It was controversial and continues to be. But it's really just on one side of the issue, offering that choice, and the other, maybe a little bit disruptive to what's happened.
Well, and I'm on the other side of the issue. Mm-hmm. I wasn't supportive, and we'll move to a second on the success of this program. My sort of complaint about it is just what you said. This allows parents to decide if their tax dollars are being well spent in the education system. Mm-hmm. But I think what it says is, if my tax dollars aren't, if I'm not getting what I want out of public education, I'm going to take tax dollars and spend it on private enterprise. And I just don't think that's fundamentally the offering of taxes. I think if you're not happy with your investment of your taxes, the government should work to improve those systems. If if the public schools are not giving what you want, then using our taxpayer dollars, let's make sure that the public schools get you to where you want. This essentially says, oh, well, you can pack up your bags, leave that system, and take my taxpayer dollars into the private system. Now, I'll tell you, you know, we just had our Caboose start college, and she spent her high school years in a private school. So I've paid for private tuition. And I think that was a choice, much the same kind of choices that the private other parents who want to send it to their private school. It was based on that individual child. The other three went to public schools. But I will say, I just think at a philosophical level, particularly for conservatives, I find it to be not true to ideology that says taxpayers should fund a program. And if you're not happy with the taxpayer dollars, you should feel free to take those taxpayer dollars and invest them in the free market. I think that for me is a sort of a collapse in conservative thinking.
Yeah. So on the other side of the argument is, what return on investment do we see with education dollars? So the education budget, and we watch this closely, as far as state funds, has gone from roughly 10 years ago, about $2.5 billion. It is now almost $4.5 billion.
Right.
So another $2 billion.
Yeah.
And you can argue about what results you're looking at, but many of the ones that we've looked at, there's really not been a lot of improvement.
Right. Right?
So it's fair to say, okay, if there hasn't been improvement with another $2 billion,
right,
is it okay to take roughly 1%, maybe 2% of that total ball of wax,
yeah,
and let parents have choice. And, yeah, and then that market would then say, okay, if parents like what's happening on the other side of this ledger, they can take that. And as it's structured, money does stay in the classroom to some extent. And you could argue that, sure, there's more money, yeah, per student if parents take kids out of that classroom, right?
It's not your total, so to speak.
Not
it's not
it
your
all.
Total.
No.
And there's so many of us who participate in education who don't have kids. I mean, that's the value of free education, right? Is that we argue that a rising tide lifts all boats. It's not about how many kids you have in the system. It's that you believe in education being funded by taxpayer dollars. So I'm sure we will have another round of, because I do think we disagree. But one of the things that I think it comes clear is, boy, there was a demand for this fund. So today the paper is telling us that it really, they opened it up and boy, already, we've already exceeded the slots that were available. Am I right in remembering there were about 8,000 slots available?
Yeah, it's about 10,000 with the additional funding and about 27,000 student applications, right? So only about a third of supply to the demand. And so now the question is, okay, well, then who gets to line
right.
up? And they did in the original legislation, that's spelled out, which we can talk about. Those that are first in line would be those that had it the previous year. That's not applicable now because it's just starting. But the next criteria is that if a student has family income at or below 200% of the federal poverty level, it's about $60,000 for a family of four. They're first in line. Like they are the ones that will get it first. After that, if you're a sibling of a student who participated in the program the prior year, you do get some priority there. And then only after that, it does ratchet up a little bit to where if a family income between 200% and 555%, that's quite a number, mm-hmm. of the federal poverty level over a range of about $60,000 to $160,000 for a family of four, they're last in line. And then after that, it'd be all others that, you know, that apply. So there is a priority that will prioritization that'll happen now.
Okay. So for those of us who think this was a camel's nose in the tent, mm-hmm. this year was $42 million in the programming. And we already see that it will be wildly successful. Mm-hmm. And we're going to keep, I do like that the legislation anticipated that you might have to have protocols in distribution. So if you keep those same, as you said, next year, one, I think it's pretty easy for the majority that already passed this bill to make the case that there was demand so that the pool should grow.
Yeah.
So I would be really surprised if this next legislative session we
Shocker.
Didn't see us
Here
grow,
it comes. Yeah.
growing this pie. But yep. then that means, remember, everyone who got it this year, if they wanted to stay in it, they would be the first. So now we're just looking at the new amount. Mm-hmm. And in that case, again, as we said, you would be distributed by your income level and then maybe if you're siblings. So Rusty, how me as mm-hmm. a suspicion, not excited about this, how could I read this as any way but holy cow, this is what I thought. We're just going to keep growing this. And I'm going to ask you a counter question.
Yeah.
Is there no end to the growth before you say, hold on a minute? I mean, if I take it to its unnatural conclusion, I'll just be clear that this is not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But in theory, your whole taxpayer thing, we could all decide that the private sector is doing it better and all of our taxpayer money goes there. Now that's not true.
Yeah.
But at what point do you say, wow, now the taxpayers are funding a private school system?
So the interesting or the great thing is that the market will tell us, right? You know, the parents have the choice. And if the program isn't working
but
for them,
the market's being subsidized by taxpayers.
Well, correct. But the point that we're trying to make is that it is a very small percentage of the overall education budget that is already fully funded by taxpayers and to giving them a choice to maybe have a better return on their investment. What's interesting is this is not a Utah only issue.
Right.
This is nationwide. This is happening. And there are some good data points now that show how the program unfolds. And that's the beauty of this is that as this unfolds, we'll be able to make changes if needed. And depending on how you feel about the issue, make it more successful or go the other direction.
Okay. Well, it's successful. We'll keep following this. Hey, we have another interesting tax issue that we want to pose. The question is internet access. We're all acutely aware of it. We're dependent on it. Is it good or bad? If your internet access, your infrastructure is owned by the government. Let's talk about that next on KSL at night.
911, emergency.
They're kidnapping my son.
What would you do if your child disappeared and someone you trusted was responsible?
We thought he cared for McKay, when in fact he didn't care for anyone.
Listen to Ransom now at ransompodcast.com.